My wife always laughs at me that before every Yom Tov, I should put a message on my phone, say before Hanukkah, if you're going away and you want to know where to light Hanukkah candles, please press 1. If it's before Pesach and you want to know when the biggest comments, please press 2. That's what's starting to feel like. It's already Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so the shadows are starting to pop in. So I thought maybe we'd spend a little bit of time. Not that I'm trying to discourage anybody from calling me. I know some people here do call me. But we're going to try to give a little bit of an overview of some of the halachas of Pesach. It's not to knock off all of those Pesach in 20 minutes, but at least some of the overview of some of the halachas, particularly those areas that touch on in the workplace. People who have offices, people who are going to be going to work, people who are not going necessarily going to work in Chol HaMoed, but different shadows come up as well, just in terms of basic chametz questions, other questions relating to the proper fulfilling of the dinner of the Pesach. Let's try to get a little bit of a background. So we know the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Pesachim that there is an obligation of Bedikas Chometz. The opening Mishnah in Maseches Pesachim, Orla Bos HaBedikas HaChometz, in the night of the 14th of Nisan, we're required to check the Chometz. This halacha of Bedikas Chometz, of checking the Chometz, this applies to any Chometz that's in my Rishus. If I have a house, I have to do Bedikas Chometz. If I have an office, I have to do Bedikas Chometz. If I have a car, I have to do Bedikas Chometz. So the halacha requires of me, presumably on the night of the 14th of Nisan, I don't know if I want to take my candle into my car, but at least for the flashlight, or I don't know if I want to use a candle altogether. I want to use a candle or a flashlight or something to really go do a thorough Bedikas Chometz. So the question becomes, how does this play out in terms of an office setting? Is a person really obligated to do Bedikas Chometz in their little area where they work in during the week? So the answer is yes, that they should be doing Bedikas Chometz. However, folks can tell us that even though one is supposed to be doing Bedikas Chometz in one's office, it's not quite the same as in one's home or in one's apartment. And there are a couple of important differences. So one important difference is that it need not be done on the night of the 14th of Nisan. Okay, most of us probably are not going to be in our office on the night of the 14th of Nisan. I think this year, the night of the 14th is a Sunday night. Right, so it's highly unlikely anyone's going to be in their office at 10 o'clock at night on Sunday night. So one would not have to do Bedikas Chometz at that point. One should do Bedikas Chometz beforehand. One should do Bedikas Chometz, let's say Friday, or the last day you're going to be there before Erev Pesach. One would do Bedikas Chometz even in the daytime. Even though usually we do Bedikas Chometz specifically at night, that's only true in one's home when it comes to one's office, one isn't actually living there. So one can do Bedikas Chometz really at any time. One need not do it necessarily at night at the light of a candle. One can turn on the lights in the office and do a pretty thorough Bedikah, and that would be perfectly okay. One does not recite a bracha on Bedikas Chometz that's done in the office for a combination of reasons. Number one, it's not one's home, so the Ikar Mitzvah of Bedikas Chometz really applies to one's home, and therefore no bracha is recited. And number two, one doesn't recite a bracha that's not going to be done the night of the 14th. One only recites a bracha when Bedikas Chometz is done and they're really the optimal time in the night of the 14th. Again, so halacha l'maisa, one is supposed to do Bedikas Chometz. One, you're not mechuyev to start, you're not obligated to start putting out pieces of bread and Cheerios and all kind of stuff and with feathers and sticks. You know, that you're not obligated to do. But you should do a good thorough Bedikah and make sure there in fact is no Chometz there. If there isn't any Chometz, you should get rid of the Chometz. Sometimes the person wants to leave all the Chometz. Sometimes if one's home, one wants to leave all the Chometz as well. So one can do that, provided that one does it proper Bechiras Chometz. One will be obligated to sell one's Chometz. So here also, if one wants to leave Chometz behind in one's office, so then one would have to make sure to do a proper Bechira. The proper Bechiras Chometz, so our custom has been already for hundreds of years, is that a person goes to a Rav and appoints the Rabbi as the Shaliach, as the agent, fills out the right forms in order to make sure that the rabbi will do the proper Bechiras Chometz to him. It's important that the Rav is aware, and it's written on the form, the location of the Chometz. Many people do this. They tell the rabbi, okay, I'm selling my Chometz, and they write down where the Chometz is located. They write down their apartment, but they fail to write down where the office is. If they have Chometz in their office, they have to write down where their office is. Otherwise, how is the non-Jew ever going to figure out where in the world the Chometz is? You have to write down the address of where the office is. In addition to writing down where the office is, you have to give the non-Jew access to be able to get into the office. The same way the non-Jew has to have access to get into your home. Let's say a person sells Chometz. They write up this beautiful document saying that they have by selling all their Chometz to the non-Jew. And then the person goes off on a cruise and he's in the middle of the Pacific Ocean somewhere. And the non-Jew comes banging on the door and trying to get all the schnapps. He can't get in. So what kind of Mechiras Chometz is that? That's a joke. But folks can say that will throw into question the validity of the entire Mechiras Chometz. Therefore, if a person is away from his home for the entire week of Pesach, you have to leave the keys with somebody. You can leave it with a rabbi, you can leave it with somebody else. I still have collections of keys from last year, from the year before, from the last 20 years, because nobody ever remembers to pick up the keys afterwards. So they're in my famous Achiyov Eliyahu HaNavi box, still waiting. Hopefully Eliyahu HaNavi will come soon and get rid of all my keys. So comes the poskim and say, you have to make sure that you give a set of keys, or you give other form of access. Let's say one's home, if one wants to leave for the whole week of Yom Tov, and you want to make sure the guy, the non-Jew, has access, let's say there's a code, let's say there's a Shabbos lock for something, so here's another way to get into the apartment, that would also be okay. So to the office, let's say there's a security guard there, and there's there's a code, there's a something or other, so that would be all right as well. So again, there should be some way that if and when the non-Jew wants to get access, he should. But I sometimes tell people to do is that if they don't want to leave keys, they feel funny, they don't want to give codes, at least write your cell phone number down. At least if you write a cell phone number, so assuming that your cell phone is going to work where you are, so write your email, write your Facebook, write your something, I don't know, whatever, you know more than I don't know, whatever it is. Right away they should be able to find you. We live in a world where everyone can be found at any given moment. So the non-Jew should have access to be able to find you, or else that throws into question the entire business comes. Again, that's true both for your apartments as well as in the workplace. Just because a person sells chametz does not permit him to leave the chametz just lying around, just like that. Let's say I'm going to sell all my chametz to a non-Jew, and I'm going to leave the chametz in my table, I'm going to leave it in my counter, I'm going to leave it in my closets. And that's a problem. The Gemara tells us that we're afraid that a person may come to eat that chametz. So therefore, any time that there's chametz that belongs to a non-Jew in your property, you have to make sure that it's put aside somewhere. It has to be behind a mechitz of 10 tefachim. It has to be behind a wall, a partition of at least 10 tefachim. 10 tefachim, approximately 3 feet or so, should be separating between you and the chametz. So let's say if I put it all in the closet and I close the closet, that's called the mechitz of 10 tefachim. If I put it all in the closet and I keep on walking in and out of the closet to get my coat, that's not a mechitz of 10 tefachim. It has to be in an area that's taped off, it's locked away. There should be a 10 tefachim mechitz separating you. So to your work, the same halacha is true. If I'm going to sell my chametz, I'm just going to put it and leave it in the fridge. I'm leaving a pizza in the freezer in my office or something, so I may walk into the office of Chol HaMoed, even if I'm not planning on going to work in Chol HaMoed. I may walk into Chol HaMoed and may come and eat the pizza by mistake. So I have to be careful that any chametz that I'm selling has to be behind a wall of 10 tefachim. Shouldn't be any chashash, shouldn't be any fear whatsoever that somebody may come to actually eat that chametz. What if a non-Jew brings in their own chametz into your work? Let's say I have my own office, or I have my own house, my own apartment for that matter, and a non-Jew brings in their own chametz. That's okay. That's not my problem. I'm not going to come and eat their chametz. I'm not going to beat them up and steal the chametz from them. So if the non-Jew is holding on to the chametz, that's okay. If the non-Jew puts the chametz down and walks out, then it becomes my problem. It's not a problem in HaTorah because the chametz doesn't belong to me, and I only violate the prohibition of owning chametz if the chametz belongs to me. But there's still a problem in the Rabbanan that I may come to eat that chametz. So any time a non-Jew has chametz in my rishus, in my office, in my farm, in my house, wherever the case may be, I have to make sure that either the non-Jew is literally holding on to it in his hands, or I've set up a wall, set up some type of a partition. Somebody asked me an interesting shout out today. I guess they must have had Ruach HaKodesh. They knew I was going to speak about these topics tonight. I had no idea what I was going to talk about. I didn't even know what the topic was for yesterday. But so today someone called with a shayla that, and my wife is the one who runs the program. So I guess I'm on tape right now, so I have to be, say hello. So the question becomes as follows. Somebody called with the following shayla just this afternoon that they're going to be away for Pesach. They're going away for the whole Yom Tov. But their office is the house. They have whatever business they do runs out of their house, and they have a non-Jewish secretary who usually comes in a couple of days during the week when they're home, and they work together in the office, whatever the case may be. But now this person is going to be away. Say, Reuven's going to be away for the whole week, and his non-Jewish secretary is going to come in a couple of days during Chol HaMoed and do work during Yom Tov. She's not supposed to be doing his work, and then the office should be closed in Yom Tov. Maybe the office should be closed also, but again, he didn't ask me that question, so I didn't answer that question. But whatever reason, let's say, whatever the heter is, if there is one, so the office is open on Chol HaMoed, and she's coming in doing the books, we have to take care of the paperwork, whatever it is. So the problem was, she's going to bring a sandwich in, she's going to bring her own food in, her own chametz in. So he was all nervous, can I have a non-Jew bring in chametz into my house on Pesach? So the answer is yes. It's at the Gomer. You're allowed to have a non-Jew come and bring chametz into your house. As long as they're holding on to it, they're eating it themselves. If you would be home, I wouldn't recommend it. It's a very bad idea. Non-Jews going to come being chometed. We spend a month beforehand trying to get the stuff out of our vacuum cleaner, so we're going to have a guy and bring in pizzas into our house. So that would be a really bad idea. But over here, he's not going to be home anyway. No one's going to eat the chometz anyway. So technically speaking, for a non-Jew to bring in their own chometz, that's not a problem by Rav Emot. That's not my chometz. The only problem is that the non-Jew is working for him. Here the folks can tell us that if a non-Jew is working for you, then it depends. If it's your responsibility to feed them, part of their job, understand the agreement is that I provide them meals, then it's a problem. Because they're coming in and eating chametz, so the halacha says it's like a little bit of a marasayim. There's no one actually watching. There's a marasayim, people are going to look, it appears like I'm feeding the non-Jew chametz. So if the non-Jew is my employee that I provide them meals, they should not be eating chametz in my house on Pesach. Or in my office on Pesach. But if they always bring in their own food, then it's not my problem. So let's say, for example, I own an office, and I have people who are working for me, I have non-Jews working for me. They want to bring in their chametz on Pesach, that's fine. Unless I always give them lunch. If every day I always give them lunch, and now Pesach I say, listen, bring your own food, that's a problem. Because that looks like I'm feeding them chametz on Pesach, which would be a problem, because there's an Isser Hano, I'm not permitted to derive benefit from chametz. So remember, we once had the Shiloh, back a couple of years ago, my wife once called me frantic on the Chol HaMoed that she had taken the kids to the mall. Babysitter came along also, and the babysitter wanted to buy pizza. Pizza store wasn't kosher, it was Pesach. She didn't want to buy the Hamish nine Gebrux pizza. That wasn't the big gate for her to buy. Those who know the pizza I'm talking about, ones make Shahakalon. No, another pizza? Okay, if you don't know about it, you're not missing anything, I can guarantee you. So anyway, so she wanted to buy pizza. So my wife called me frantic, and she's the 9 year babysitter to buy pizza. She's going to put it into the bag and then take it back in the car with her. Is that a problem? It's my car. So how can the non-Jew bring chametz into my car? So I said, it's Het HaGomer. I said, the Gemara says the favor. She said, it's mutter for a non-Jew to hold on to chametz, bring their own chametz into my rishus. So then I said, wait a second. Not only is it not Het HaGomer, it's also. I said, why? Because the babysitter is working for us, and the deal usually is, we usually provide her lunch every day. So here, the one day my wife wasn't providing her lunch, she was going to eat her own lunch in my rishus, that's a problem. That's exactly the case the Postman says also. So I quickly said, so no, I said, change up stock. I said, it's awesome. This is the one case, one in a million cases, this is the case with stock of awesome. So I said, give her $5, let her buy whatever she wants, not to bring it into the car, let her eat it in the mall. Because for her to bring that chametz into my rishus, that gives the impression that my wife went to the pizza store and provided her with chametz. Again, so Baruch Hashem, the person asked me to shiloh, we have to deal with that shiloh. So getting back to the story. Again, so everyone has to make sure that the bedikas chametz is done properly. Everyone has to make sure that if you want to, mechiras chametz is done. There's no great mitzvah to do mechiras chametz. Some people think it's like getting ready for Pesach. Everyone has to do mechiras chametz. If you don't want to do mechiras chametz, then don't do mechiras chametz. Just eat all your chametz. If you finish all your chametz, you throw out all your chametz, so then there's nothing to worry about. And there's no mitzvah deraisa to do mechiras chametz. If you want to avail yourself of mechiras chametz, then you have to make sure to do it properly and with the proper the description of where the chametz is, the value, etc., and the proper access for the non-Jew in order to get to the chametz. There's another issue that sometimes comes up at the workplace in terms of if a person is going to work at Chol HaMoed. Again, not saying yes, no, should or shouldn't, but whatever the case is, the person finds themselves in the office of Chol HaMoed and they're eating lunch. So obviously they're not eating chametz. But there are other people who are not necessarily from, not necessarily Jewish. And everybody's sitting together at the table, and I'm sitting and eating my matzah sandwich, and they're sitting and eating their pizza. Is that a problem or not? So here there is a twofold problem. The general question about eating non-kosher food, we have no chametz. The general issue of eating non-kosher food at the same table, if somebody, I'm eating kosher, they're eating non-kosher. This is similar to the halachos of basar v'challah. If I'm eating flesh, it's you're eating milchiks, so we're not really supposed to be eating at the same table unless one puts down a separate placemat or a tablecloth or something. So that's a question to post, whether that carries over to non-kosher food. Well, here, that's a very simple solution. Let's say if I'm sitting at a regular Tuesday afternoon lunch with my non-Jewish co-workers, so I'm eating a sandwich and they're eating their tray first, so it's not a problem. So I put down a napkin or something, I put down my bag, whatever it is, so I made my new tablecloth, so that would serve as a way, as a reminder, not to end up eating from their food. But on Pesach, the poskim writes, that's not going to work. The Shulchan Aruch writes that on Pesach you're not permitted to eat at the same table when somebody's eating chametz because of a different fear. The fear is that some of that chametz may get into your food. Why is that such a fear? Why is that more of a fear on Pesach than any other time of the year? So there is a halacha that chametz for Pesach is asur b'mashehu. Even the smallest amount of chametz that gets into one's food causes a problem. let's say during the rest of the year, if I have I'm eating a big bowl of soup and a little bit of chazir, a little bit of the person's ham sandwich falls into my bowl of soup, it's technically bottel. It's definitely negligent. It doesn't really count. I'm not advocating eating chazir in my, don't quote me on that, don't misquote me. But when it comes to chametz of Pesach, nothing's going to work. Nothing's going to help. Even the smallest speck of chametz causes a problem. So therefore, as a safeguard, one is not permitted to eat chametz at the same table. At the same table that you're eating kosher Pesach food. So one should be careful. If one's at work at Chol HaMoed, one should just, I'm saying not to be friendly, but during the meal, not to be too friendly. So eat in your office, you by yourself, one shouldn't sit down at the same table eating your kosher Pesach food if there are other people who are eating chametz at the table. There is another series of halachas that become important for, they're related to Pesach, but a little bit more after Pesach oriented. They're important both in terms of our homes and apartments, as well as in terms of our office. Now, those are halachas of chametz she'avol over Pesach. Any chametz that was owned by a Jew during the week of Pesach is problematic, is prohibited to be eaten or to derive benefit from forever and ever. So even though I didn't personally violate the issur of owning the chametz, any chametz that was owned by a Jew during Pesach is prohibited. So in the olden days, this halacha was fairly simple to fulfill. Life was pretty easy. So you lived in a little shtetl, and you knew exactly who was Jewish. He wasn't Jewish. He had Yankel, the grocery man. He was Jewish, and hopefully he was frumped, so he wasn't selling chametz in Pesach. He either got rid of the chametz, or he sold the goyim chametz on Pesach. Then you had a non-Jew. You had a non-Jew owned his non-Jewish grocery store. So you knew that whatever chametz he had there was mutter, and after Pesach he could buy it. It was very easy to know who was Jewish, who was not Jewish, who owned what and everything. Today we live in a world that's very, very difficult. It's very hard to figure out a lot of things in today's world, and especially when the food industry is a total chaos. We have no idea who owns what. You walk into any given store in any given neighborhood, and you're short of, unless you walk into a Chassidish grocery store in Bar Park, you pretty safely assume who owns it. You go into any other store in any other place, you don't really know exactly who owns what. Just because the person behind the counter may look a certain way doesn't necessarily indicate anything. Now when you deal with bigger stores, you're dealing with grocery stores, you're dealing with ShopRite, Pathmark, and you're dealing with a whole conglomerates and corporations and stuff, things get even more complicated. So rather than spending the whole next hour and a half on Chametz Shel Pesach, we'll try to knock it down in about a minute or so and how it's relevant in terms of businesses. Basically the consensus of Poskim is that if you have like a corporation type of a thing, food that's owned by a corporation, we assume you follow the rove, you follow the majority of the share owners of this corporation. We assume that most likely going to be non-Jews. Therefore, any big corporation is going to be not a problem. For argument's sake, let's say you have a store like Pathmark. So Pathmark is a publicly owned company. So all the food in Pathmark, all the chametz in Pathmark, presumably should be okay. It's all chametz shell of a non-Jew, which presumably shouldn't be a problem. This is the way everybody assumed until about 10 or 15 years ago, until somebody came to the realization there's a thing called a distributor. Distributor means that the food comes from the farm through a few different hands, and there are different people along the way who own the food. So if the distributor is Jewish and the distributor owns chametz, that chametz may become problematic. So the initial reaction was, distributor? Who's the distributor? What kind of Jew? Not a good business for a good Jewish boy to be a distributor of food. Man, the stomach of the distributor of all these big stores is a goyim. Until somebody did a little bit more research and came to the realization that the number one distributor for the entire northeast of the United States is one very small company. It's a tremendous company, but it goes by the initials of CNS. Anyone know what that stands for? Conan Strauss. So that was a big problem. So about 15 years ago or so, we came to that realization that all the distributors of all the major supermarkets in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, up the coast, down the coast, are all potentially problems with chametz over Pesach. So there are solutions to the problem. There have been different solutions, some better, some others, whatever it was. So again, different rabbanim have different opinions about how to deal with this problem, and you probably see within your own community different shittos, different opinions about which stores are permissible, which stores are not permissible. So again, it's hard for me to give ironclad rules at this point, but it's a complicated issue. Chametz Shel Pesach in America is a very, very complicated issue. But going back to the workplace, we could run into real problems with Chametz Shel Pesach. If there's a co-worker who's not necessarily from, and he owns chametz, and now after Pesach, he hands me some of his cookies that were sitting in the table for the last couple of days, that's going to be a real problem. So I'm not allowed to eat that chametz. Well, let's say you have kind of like communal chametz, a chametz that's sitting around that nobody really knows who really bought it, who really owned it, who paid for it. Is the business owned by Jews? Is the business owned by non-Jews? Is it a corporation? Is it a private? One guy's just buying stuff and leaving it there. It becomes very, very complicated. I would say that one should really be, has to be extra careful or the days immediately after Pesach, to be very, very careful about Chomesh Lavar Pesach, particularly in the workplace. There is an ongoing issue with Chomesh Lavar Pesach that's still raging now, and that's the Chomesh Lavar Pesach of last year, and of the year before, and the last 50 years, and that's concerning a lot of schnapps. There's a lot of schnapps products that may be owned by Jewish companies, have been owned by Jewish companies, which may still be problems of Chomesh Lavar Pesach for the last 30 years. So that's a whole different ball game and different opinions, not really different opinions, but different people are doing different things, but basically there are issues in terms of certain types, certain brands of these things of Chomesh Lavar Pesach. So again, the Chomesh Lavar Pesach is something one has to keep their eyes open for and to realize that especially in a work setting, there are going to be potential issues of Chomesh Lavar Pesach. So again, we couldn't finish all of the Pesach, but we try to touch a little bit on Bedika, a little bit on Mechira, a little bit on eating Chomet, a little bit on eating Pesach food next to Chomet, a little bit about Chomesh Lavar Pesach. Just before we open up for questions, I thought it is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, just now. It's not okay. We're to the holiday, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. I'm just expecting someone's going to ask me whether you have to say Yalav Yavol at this meal, because you started before and afterwards, so see, I knew we'd have an exciting child, okay? So we'll see. When we get to Benji, we'll try to start with him. Good child, right? Okay, good question. I think the only answer is everyone's going to have another rap. So if you have another rap now it's ready, you have to say, then the holiday. I'm not sure whether everyone wants to have another rap, but with some, everyone could say Yalav Yavol. Some, it's better shmash to say Yalav Yavol. Anyway, so I thought we just a little bit of different chizuk, a little bit, hopefully inspiring, I hope, something related a little bit to Rosh Chodesh Nisan at the beginning, of course, of the Pesach season. The first mitzvah that's given to Klal Yisrael is the mitzvah of HaChodesh HaZalachem, to declare Rosh Chodesh, and the Kaddish HaChodesh. We know already from Rashi, the first Rashi of Chumash tells us, that the Torah really should have started with HaChodesh HaZalachem. So the whole Sefer Bereishis is stories, important stories, but the bulk of the Torah is really did in the mitzvah, so Rashi gives you a whole explanation why the Torah starts with Bereishis. But really the beginning in terms of at least the halachic portion of the Torah is HaChodesh HaZalachem. What is this all about? The very first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael is the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the mitzvah of declaring Rosh Chodesh. When we recite Kiddush on Yom Tov, there's a phrase that we incorporate into our Kiddush, Zeich L'Tzis Mitzrayim. We say that the Yom Tovim are a remembrance to the events of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So I understand on Pesach why that's true. Pesach is obviously Zeich L'Tzis Mitzrayim. Shavuot, okay, is the extension of Pesach. Sukkot, I understand that also. Zeich L'Tzis Mitzrayim, the Midbar, etc. Did someone explain to me what Rosh Hashanah has to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim? Did someone explain to me when you make Kiddush on Simchas Torah, Yom HaShmini Chag HaTzeres HaZeh, what in the world Shmini HaTzeres has to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim? There's absolutely no, Shmini HaTzeres is not a historical Yom Tov. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are not a historical Yom Tov. They have nothing to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim. So why do we mention Yitzis Mitzrayim in the Kiddush HaSayom, the declaration of Kiddush? So I think the answer is really basic, fundamental. The notion of Kedushas HaZman, the notion of sanctifying time, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, any Kedushas HaZman, is presupposing something. I can only declare something as holy if I'm in control of it, if I own it. If a person wants to give a gift to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to own it first. I can't give tzedakah if I don't own it. I can't steal from one person and give tzedakah. You can only give something that you own. You can only be Mekadesh something, you can only sanctify something that you yourself own. Klal Yisrael, until Rosh Chodesh Nisan, didn't own time. They weren't in control of time, but they were of others. An Eved, a slave, the ultimate Avdus is a person who's not in control of their own time. That's the biggest tragedy of an Eved is that even when he wants to do something, he can't, because his Adon, his master, always has control of his time. Klal Yisrael were given a gift on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, of HaChodesh HaZalachem Rosh Chodesh. They were given the ability to sanctify time. What they were really being given was the gift of time itself. They became owners of their own time and of their own destiny. That's the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh. That's why when we come to any Yom Tov of the year, it doesn't matter which one, Rosh Hashanah, how come you have Kedushas HaZman? Shmini Atzeres, what do you mean Kedushas HaZman? The concept of Yom Tov doesn't exist unless you have Zman, unless you have Yetzias Mitzrayim. If not for Zeich L'Tzias Mitzrayim, there would be no such concept of being a Kaddish HaZman. So the whole notion of Kaddish HaZman, which plays such a critical force in our lives, Kaddish HaZman, this Kaddish Shabbos, and Kaddish Yom Tov, and Kaddish Kol HaMoed, and Kaddish Rosh Chodesh, and we constantly focus on Kaddish HaZman. And if you think about the Yom Tov of Pesach, it's the Yom Tov that involves Zman, involves time, more than any other Yom Tov. on the calendar. Think about it. Every mitzvah of Pesach revolves around time. The matzahs, the difference in chametz and matzahs, only an issue of time. The issue of when do you get rid of your chametz, from the fourth hour, the fifth hour, the sixth hour, when do you eat the afikom, before chatzos, after chatzos, everything revolves around time. Because Pesach is a celebration of time, it's a celebration of zman, it's a celebration of chayrus. So freedom is the prerequisite for zman. That's why the very first mitzvah Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us is HaChedesh Ezelochem Rosh Chodesh. This is not only true in terms of the celebration of Pesach and in terms of Yom Tovim. It's true even on a regular day, on a regular plane, Monday night. Monday night, there's not a regular plane Monday night, Rosh Chodesh, but even tomorrow night, a regular plane Tuesday night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift of time. It's up to us to decide what we're going to do with that time. We're going to fill that time with Torah and mitzvahs and Yerushalayim and Gedolas Chasadim. Are we going to use that time in ways of Kedusha? But then we're really bailing on time. But if time kind of wastes away from us, if we end up using our time for things which are not necessarily Dvarim Shel Mitzvah, not necessarily Dvarim Shel Kedusha, not necessarily things which are of lasting importance, then we're not really going forward. The Mishnah tells us that you want to know what a real Ben Choron is. A person who's involved in mitzvahs, a person who's involved in Meisim Tovim, a person who's going to do chesed, a person who's going to Ishir, a person who's going to learn Daf Yomi, the person who's involved in Limud HaTorah and Avodah and Gemilas Chasadim, that's the real hallmark of a Ben Choron. Hopefully, as we begin this season of Zman Cheruseinu, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, it should be a time of Zman Cheruseinu, it should be a time of Kedushas Zman, that each and every one of us to be able to reach that level of Zman Cheruseinu, to be able to be Mekadosh Zman in its proper manner. Okay, we're opening the floor for questions again.
So in regards to filming at work, is it okay if you have filming, you don't want to sell it, but you want to like kind of give it up and like give it to like whoever wants, like put it in a communal area, so it's all yours, but you know that there are Jews at work who are not supposed to, you might eat it?
Right, well, it depends. Well, when are you going to do this? You're going to do this
before.
Like in enough, is everything going to be eaten before Pesach or no?
Potentially
not. If there are other Jews at work, then you should not do that. Okay? If there's nobody else Jewish at work and you want to literally be mocked and just put it and everyone else come and take that, not technically you should not. You mean you want to kasher it first and then double wrap, or either one?
Yeah.
Right. Double wrap. So the truth is that probably either one of those things would really work. I mean, technically speaking, if you kasher the microwave, you can use the microwave. If you double wrap, you can technically use a tray microwave also. So again, me'ikra mikra din.
Oh, it's either or.
Well, me'ikra din, either one would not work. Okay? There are some poskim who didn't like kashering microwaves because some had issues with kasher.
Either one would work.
Either one would work. You know, what I tell people about microwaves, my general philosophy of microwaves is like this. You know, during the year, in a person's own apartment, one's own home, why don't you try to keep a separate microwave? If you can use this microwave for fleishik, let's say it's a fleishik microwave. And once in a while, you really feel you have to use milch, and then wrap up the food well. And you're at work, and you're stuck, there's no choice, so you have to use a tray for microwave, so then also wrap up the food really well. Precious Pesach, how much of a need on Pesach is there to be lenient about this? Because again, microwaves are questions. Not everyone agrees that the microwaves are okay. So this year, how many days of Chol HaMoed are you going to be using a microwave altogether? There's maximum one day at work, right? Thursday, half a day, Friday, okay. One and a half days at work. So, I don't know. I recommend people not to cash their microwaves for Pesach, but I can't say it's also. For the Ikra Din, it's more to the cash them for Pesach, and Ikra Din, you can wrap it up. Either one of those would work. You do both together, Mike. Okay.
I have a two-part question related. You mentioned that it's sufficient, if you want to sell some, it's sufficient to give them your phone number. So I was wondering, you know, I'm not going to pick up the phone on the first date and the last date and the Shabbos in between. So how does that work?
Yeah, I think that's also good enough. It means as long as the some point during the course of Pesach he can come, so he'll come the next day. He'll find. He'll track you down.
And I think it's good enough. The second part is a lot of corporations these days, they're not going to let just anybody come in and have to sell like an ID or swipe a card like that.
Right.
So if I'm winning, but I sold comics, how is this person, this guy supposed to be able to get to the comics?
Right. A little bit complicated. I mean, I guess the question is that, you know, let's say my own house, if I go away and I just leave a key, With the rabbi, something for the non-Jew in theory could come. Again, the non-Jew is not going to come, but he has to have the possibility to be able to come pick up the chametz. The question that's being asked is that I'm working in a building in the Midtown Manhattan, and the non-Jew is going to come to the security guard and say, well, I got my form that says that Stan gave me permission. I'd like to come in. I don't know whether I want to work in such a building. So, what I would think is like this. Assuming that he has access to you, he could find you, right? He can call you on his cell phone. In theory, you can come back. You'll come with him, you'll vouch for him, and you'll get him in as a guest or something. He's not going to come. We know he's not going to come. But to sell something in a manner that's mamish impossible for the person to ever pick up the goods, it throws into question the sale. So it doesn't have to be that it's going to happen. It has to be a possibility to happen. That's all it has to be. So as long as we can track you down, I think that's good enough. Yeah. Stocks are a big issue. If a person really has chametz stock, usually we put that into the mechiras chametz. I mean, the person writes, some mechiras chametz forms have it actually written out explicitly, and some have the phrase in the mechiras chametz form, I'm selling all the chametz that I own, and that includes my own chametz in stock. So I'm that chametz is being... What? I wouldn't recommend the trader, right? I would not recommend the trader, right? The question becomes, how legally binding is that sale? You know, stock trade. You know, I could sell you a loaf of bread with writing up a contract, but I'm not sure I could sell stocks that way.
No one can't get a stock.
What?
No one
ever right. You know, this is an interesting question the folks can discuss about when we do Mechiras Chametz. How legal does the mechira have to be? In the sense of how bind does it have to be in secular law? I imagine a stock trade that would be written on a piece of paper that says that I sold my chametz to Rabbi Tony who sold it. I'm not sure how far that would get you in court. So there's a shaila about selling schnapps. Because it's illegal. You're not allowed to sell schnapps. You know, unless you have a license. You're not allowed to sell liquor. So that becomes a very complicated, touchy thing. But however, interesting, he told us a couple of years ago, we found out that one of the rabbanim from the Washington, D.C. area, so used as a non-Jew to sell the chametz to, was one of the Supreme Court justices. So we actually showed him the document that he approved of it. He said that it was legal. I don't know what was legal in it, but he said the way the document was written up, it was perfectly legal. So Rabbi Willing, I remember, was very excited when he heard that. So that year, Mechivas Chametz, I gave a big announcement. He said that we sell things according to the United States law, approved by the Supreme Court, backs up our documents, and we're home. Now what they would say about the stocks, I can't promise you.
What's the day if someone went to a teller on PayPal and there's a bar with a schnapps in the refrigerator, so then you're applying the shmira for the schnapps, so presumably they're yours now in terms of...
Chomet, you keep love a chryer. There is a halacha that if I have a non-Jew chametz, so that's a problem of, even though we said before I'm allowed to have a non-Jew chametz in my house, that's only assuming that I don't have responsibility for that chametz. If I'm having a chrayas in that chametz, that's a problem. So over here, if something's going to happen to that chametz, I'm going to be having a chrayas in it, right? On the other hand, this hotel room is not mine. Now, even though I'm renting the hotel room, technically speaking, I'm not really renting the hotel room. I'm renting the right to have a room in the hotel. If the non-Jewish hotel would want to move me to another room, they could do so. That's why the post can say that I'm not really chayv in mezuzah in the hotel room, even if I decide to stay there for a month. I'm not really chayv in mezuzah. So one can argue that this is not really my reshus tuchlau. So there's a non-Jew who has his chametz that I'm a kabla chayv, it's not even my reshus. Machlekes is a rishon, or is that a problem? I don't know. I have to go to a hotel without schnapps. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I don't know. See a new one. He asked you whether there be new shalas. There's always a new one. Okay. Yeah, but the chametz is probably, the schnapps is probably chametz of a festival from last year, so it's also about no, so it's not. Just kidding. I don't know.
What second one,
yeah.
What if you have the obligation to do
a bdika
in your office if you don't own the office? I mean, I understand.
You mean the same svar that I said before about the hotel room? They could really throw you out of the office.
Yeah.
So I think it depends. If you're renting a specific office that you signed a lease and they can't just move you out like that, then for sure you chayav mitam socher. Then
there's no
right. Okay. Very good. If you're not really a socher, then the poshup shot is you're not mechuyev in form of b'dikas chametz. But lemaisi, the gzeir shem yovel yochel, the Tosfos writes that we're afraid you may come to the chametz is still there. If I'm working in the office and the chametz sitting right there, So l'chora, that would also be gzeira shem rabbi yochlos. You're right. In terms of a real form of bedikah, you're probably not chayev if they can move you around. But the reason for the bedikas chametz still applies to you. So I would still recommend the bedikas chametz. Okay, the same. Let's say you go to a hotel room. According to what you alum this, I go to a hotel room. About the shnaps. If I go to a hotel room, say the night before Pesach, I'm not mechuyev to do some kind of bedikas chametz. I should do it, even though I'm not really mechuyev because I'm not an actual socher. It's still the reason of shem rabbi yochlos will still apply. Okay. Taisus is on the base of Alf. Can't miss it. First Taisus in the Sechta. Okay. Talks to the big R. Big R line boss.
Soap and shampoo.
Yeah, soap and shampoo is one more.
Everything's okay?
I'm answering what I think they've been doing. Anyone here has a dog? Anyone here own a dog? Okay. If you put a bar of soap in front of the dog, what would it do? Run away, right? If you put shampoo in front of the dog, would it eat it? Careful, all soap and all shampoo is mutter. Well, nifsa mechilas kala, you heard it right here. Okay? Depends on the dog. Depends on how nice you're tasting the soap, because I don't know. The fear is that the soap and shampoo is wrong. Okay? Okay.
So
that's for sure, good, for sure. You have more wraps for sure.
So
even without you can say
yellow yellow.
I didn't turn it off. I didn't turn it off.
Thank you.